Morning, new life. Happy Easter. It's great to be back. Been out of the saddle for a little bit here, but I'm so thankful for the opportunity to speak to you today. Easter Sunday, what a celebration. I love it. I want to thank you for your prayers. They're working. God is working in my body, and I'm thankful for that. I got a PET scan that showed that the lymphoma has not advanced. It's stable. So, you know, I'd like it to be gone, but stable's good. Stable's good. And then I had a biopsy of my kidney, and strangely, they look fine. So why some of my numbers are wacky, I don't know. I have no explanation for that. But they're flushing my kidneys by constant IV drip with saline solution. So sometimes I go down to Mission Hope to do that. Most of the time I do it at my house with a pole. And the wacky thing is that I've been, for weeks now, I've been walking around with this pole kind of cockeyed. And I've been walking weird for so long now, my hips are hurting. I feel old, is what I'm trying to say. But I'm young in the spirit. And then if that wasn't enough, if that wasn't enough, all of a sudden I get these swollen salivary glands, or Salisbury glands, they're called. And somebody asked me if I was taking up chewing tobacco. That's not a vicious rumor. But I asked my doctor, why are they like that? And he said, I don't know. It's always comforting when your doctor says, I don't know. But they're plugged up for some reason. And if they unplug during the message, I'm going to spit on you. With a holy spit. Well, I love Easter, and it's so great to be back. I'm excited. Seriously, thank you for your prayers for me and Kathy and my family. God is so faithful, and I'm grateful. And I love Easter. I got to just confess, ever since I was a little boy, I loved it. I love coloring the eggs and, you know, doing all the festivities of Easter. The only thing I hated about Easter was I had to wear my little wool suit that my dad bought for me, and it was itchy. And I had to wear the suit, and it was just torment. So that's why I don't wear wool suits anymore. But I love Easter. There's so many ways to celebrate. For some people, it's just the beginning of spring. But for those of us who are Christ followers, it's really the beginning of life, isn't it? Yeah. It's all because of Jesus, and he rose from the dead. I love all the festivities, the Easter egg hunts. I went down yesterday to Merrill Gardens, where my father-in-law stays, and they had an Easter egg hunt. And they had all the kids and great-grandkids of all the patients there. And, you know, all the eggs were out on the lawn, just laying on top of the lawn. And then one, two, three, go, and all the kids went for the eggs. And all the old people, including me, was on the side going, yay, kids. But I thought to myself, they're not looking for them. They're just laying on top of the lawn. Now, when I was a kid, you actually had to search for them in 10 feet of snow. But it was a great day, and I'm so thankful for that. But the meaning of Easter is so packed, so mysterious, that we've been in this series called the Mysteries of Easter. We've been looking at some of the different aspects of it. And I want to speak to you today about why Christ had to rise again. That is a mystery. How many of you realize there are mysteries in life? You heard about the guy that was walking down the beach and he picked up a bottle and wondered if it was a bottle with a genie inside, so he rubbed it. And out came the genie. The genie said, I'll give you one wish, whatever you want. And so the guy said, well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm terribly afraid of flying. So I'd like a long bridge from here all the way to Hawaii so I can just drive there. And the genie went, I don't know. That's pretty tough. Do you have a second one? He said, yeah, that I could understand women. And the genie said, you want two lanes or one lane on that bridge? Yes. There are, in fact, mysteries to life. Well, I want to look at the mystery of Christ in his resurrection. And we go back to 30 AD. He was crucified. He was dead. He was laying in a borrowed tomb. And he died on a Friday, and he was hastily buried because the Jewish render the days different than we do. The next day really starts at sundown. So he was crucified and died on a Friday. At sundown on Friday would have marked the beginning of the Sabbath, Saturday. And so they wanted to bury him before the Sabbath, which was according to the law. And so they did that. And of course, Saturday he was in the grave. Actually, he was on a preaching mission. Bible says that he preached to those that were in captivity in hell. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead. And that's why we celebrate on Sunday, the Lord's Day. It was the first day of the week, but it's the greatest day of the week for us. Now, the Sabbath was over, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus and James, and the wife of Zebedee, the fisherman, Salome, mother of James and John, was with him. I always love to think of Salome because she was such a forceful woman that sometimes Jesus referred to James and John as sons of thunder. I think he was talking about Salome, to be honest with you. But she was so forceful that she tried to make a place on Jesus' right and left when he came into his kingdom. And I wonder, as they're making their way to anoint a dead Jesus in a tomb, if she was thankful that that request was not granted. Thankful that her sons were still alive. But very early in the morning, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the tomb?" But they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Let's pick up the story of Mark 16:5. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." I love the fact that the message included Peter. Aren't you?
Yes.
Last time we saw Peter, he denied Jesus three times. And when the message came to the disciples, "He's risen. Meet me in Galilee. Don't forget to tell Peter." He's still on the team, even though he stumbled. How many are glad that we can still be on the team, even in spite of stumbling? We're forgiven and given a new beginning. Amen. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, isn't that interesting? They disobeyed. They were supposed to go out and tell everybody, but they were terrified. Well, we know from parallel passages that they eventually did. But there was a moment when they were bewildered by the mystery of Easter, afraid and unsure about the future, and yet soon the gospel story would overtake not just their lives, but the lives of so many in that first century and down through the ages. Paul writes in Romans 16, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and proclaim the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that today as we look at the mystery, that God, you would peel back the mystery to the degree that we can understand what we need to understand to accept the gift that you came to give us. Lord, we realize that it's all resting on the resurrection. No resurrection, everything else is just mind games and pretending. But Lord, we're thankful that you really rose and that you're really here and you're really offering us life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said, I love all the things about Easter that are festive. Somebody gave me this little chickie, and they had heard that I moved up on the mesa, and I was thinking about having chickens. And then I visited a friend of mine's house who has like 10 zillion chickens, and the coop was a little bit odorous. So I hesitated on that. But I understand if you only have like two or three, it's not so bad. But this person said, "Well, if you don't want the real thing, you can have a wind-up chicken. And you wind it up like this, and it just, you can't see it on the table, but yeah, it hops up and down. And if that doesn't work, whoops, you're hopping away. And then also, I have, if you don't like the wind-up kind of chicken, you have the solar-powered, but it broke last night. So all it does is flop around, which is really representative of my form of dancing, all I really do in dancing. I flop around too. But of course, we have the colored eggs that we like to fill with candy and give to special people. Here you go, brother. Yeah, you open it up and look what's inside. Two kisses, Hershey kisses. So I want you to enjoy those and share it with whoever you want. And then, of course, we have the coloring of eggs. And it's important when you color eggs to hard boil them, because it gets kind of dangerous. Because without hard boiling, they can like break. Yeah, yeah. But always test your prop table before you preach. There we go. But I love the celebration of Easter, and the mystery we want to look at today is why he had to rise. I want to thank the teaching team for the last few weeks. They've done a great job of opening this series. Pastor Dave spoke on why Christ had to be God. And among other reasons, it was because he had to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. If he wasn't God and wasn't sinless, he couldn't die for our sin. He would die for his own. But because he was the perfect lamb, the perfect sinless person, God in the flesh, he was able to die for our sins. And then Gina spoke with us about why Christ had to suffer. And there's the obvious reason that it was prophesied that he would do so. But it's also that he learned obedience. And even Jesus, his obedience was tried and tested by adversity. And so when we go through tough times, that's the time when our obedience is tested. Are we really going to trust in him? And I talk about being in the trust zone, and that's where God continually has me, and really all of us, but we have to trust in him. It also is true that he had to suffer so that he can understand where we're at. It says in Hebrews that we don't have a high priest that can't relate to what we go through, but he's tempted in every way we've been tempted, but he didn't sin. And then Pastor Matt last week looked at why Christ had to die. We talked again about giving his life as a sacrifice for our sin. But I want us to look this morning at why Christ had to rise. And I want to just come up with three things that really define our Christian faith and separate it from just religion. Religion is fine, but religion really is all about what we do to try to get to God. You can sum up all the religions, all of them, with the word do. It's what we do to be a part of that religion. It's what we do to serve that God. It's all about our doing. We put our trust in our doing. Too many Christians are caught up in that. Christianity is based upon the word done. That what he did on the cross finished the work of our salvation if we will receive it as a gift. And so we need to understand that he has come that we might have life through his death. And the first reason that he had to rise is to prove his true identity. And this is the mystery of who Easter is all about. Now, you notice that there are note pages in your bulletin. There's no pressure to follow along or use that. If you want to make a paper airplane, keep the flight path low so as to not be a distraction. But we like to study God's word here, and sometimes I have a fill-in-the-blank. I didn't do that today. But if it works for you, if you're a visual person, you like to write notes and circle words like I do, you can use it. If you don't, you don't have to. So there. But the first reason that Christ had to rise is to prove his true identity. You know, a promise is only as good as the one who fulfills it. And Christ promised that he would rise again. Luke 9:22, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Later on, the disciples are still asking questions. They don't know what's going on. It's like you think they'd remember when Jesus said that. And the reason that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man is really for a couple reasons. One is, well, three reasons, actually. One is, if he just would have proclaimed himself as Messiah, they would have got caught up with the expectation that he was a political leader. He was, in fact, Messiah, and is, but he didn't refer to himself directly that often. He used the phrase Son of Man for two reasons. One, that they would go back to Daniel chapter 7 in the vision that Daniel had of the Son of Man reigning on David's throne forever, and all the nations of the earth will worship him. He identified with that place of being the eternal king. But he also used Son of Man because he related to the Messiah's ministry as the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, that he would be crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And so he used that phrase, son of man, very intentionally. But it's all really all comes down to believing whether or not he has authority like he claimed to have. He said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now think of that phrase, you'll never die. Really? Never die. I heard Dallas Willard say once when he was speaking, ladies and gentlemen, it could be that Jesus actually meant what he was saying. That you'll never die. I mean, you're not going to, all of a sudden, in a flash, you're going to be transferred into the presence of Christ. And you'll start to see people you shouldn't be seeing. Hey, you died. And it's going to be instant. And I'm thankful for that, because I don't like that long black tube description. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. But he claimed to have authority even over life and death. And he claimed that he could do some pretty amazing things, which he can if we will accept him as our Lord and our Savior. Now, it's impossible for us to just write him off as just a great person. I love the famous quote by C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity, where he says, a man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either he was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. So we have to decide, really. Is he who he claimed to be or not? And I'm thankful that we can rely on the fact that he is who he claimed to be, Lord and God, fully God, equal with God, who came in the flesh to die for our sins and to walk out of that tomb so he could have a relationship with us. Well, let's look at the second reason that Jesus had to rise again, and that was to conquer sin and death. And this is the mystery of what Easter is all about. 1 Corinthians 15 said, for since death came by through one man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That means that when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the stream of humanity, and we have been born into that stream, and we are born with a sin nature. That nature deep in us that wants to do its own thing, that says mine, wants to rule our own little kingdom, doesn't want to submit to God, wants to be in charge. And so that sin nature is always tilting toward disobedience and unrighteousness and has to be dealt with somehow. And so we need to recognize that he came that we might live in the freedom that he has for us from sin. Now, how does that happen? Well, he dealt with sin because he died on the cross in our place, and we can be free from it. We can trust in his death on the cross as payment for our sin, and we are free. We're forgiven. We're justified. And in that way, he conquered sin. Sin couldn't take you down for eternity like the devil intended, but Jesus wants to raise you up in justification and sanctification and life. Also, he conquered death. How does that happen? Well, he died and was raised to life in the same way we will be raised. You see, they put Jesus' body in the grave, and on that third day, he actually rose, physically rose. And he hung out with his disciples, was observed by 517 people that he was actually alive. Now, you'd think in a court of law today, that'd be pretty good proof. 517 eyewitnesses, I don't know, it's kind of iffy. But he really did rise, but he wanted to prove that he was actually physically raised, so he had lunch with the guys. He says, is there something to eat? And the bread didn't fall through his mouth to the floor like Casper the Ghost. He really ate, and he said, come and touch my wounds. And he was actually alive, and that's important to know that the physical resurrection of Jesus gives us hope that we in Christ will be raised as well. In fact, Scripture refers to him as the first fruits of them that slept or died. That means the first fruit word is prototokos in the Greek, which means prototype. He was the prototype for all of us. just as he was put in the grave, but he was raised in a glorified body, so we will be raised and with a glorified body, perfect body. How many are ready for that? Perfect body. And so just real quick, let me tell you what will happen if you're a Christ follower. If you were driving home today and got hit by a cement truck and were killed, instantly your spirit would be with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantly. But your body, we would take the best we could, what was remaining of it, the mangled mess, unnecessary. And we would have some sort of service, probably wouldn't have an open casket. But we would either burn you up in cremation, this is getting better, isn't it? Or bury you in a grave, your spirit would be with Jesus. But when Christ comes again, hallelujah, those that are dead in Christ will be raised, and our spirit will be reunited with our body. And we will come down and reign with him, Revelation 5, forever. And we will be a part of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21. It'll come down from heaven and be better than any one of Trump's hotels. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to reign with him forever. But that is our hope, that he's not only conquered sin in that we're forgiven, but he's conquered death in that we will be raised in the same way that he was raised. Now, this gives us great comfort in our life, and I want you to hear from some people by the way of video today that have found in Christ not a religion, but a relationship, and because of their relationship with Christ, through the good times and the bad times, they're finding real life in him. I want you to listen to three of our greatest intercessors, three ladies that pray for me along with many others of you. But these three ladies share one thing in common. Through Christ, they're overcoming very serious cancer. And they found in Christ a source of healing, but also a source of fellowship and love and life. Let's listen to them.
He is able.
Amen.
Hi, I'm here with couple of my best friends, and we are all cancer overcomers, breast cancer overcomers.
This cancer journey for me has been a faith journey. It's been an opportunity for me to find an intimate relationship with Jesus, and I am so grateful for him.
I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer 4 years ago, this past February. And if I did not have Jesus with me and God with me, this would be a very scary path for me to take. God's timing is perfect. He has a reason for his plan for me, and I have faith and I trust that.
And during this Easter season, I am just so thankful for these amazing ladies that inspire me every single day of my life. When I'm exhausted and tired and worn out, I call on them because they're there for me. They know what I'm feeling, and I know what they're feeling a lot of the times. And it all stems with coming back to Jesus and just thanking him for being our Savior, for going to the cross for us, for being our Messiah.
And you know, I think one of the things you learn through this battle with cancer and the journey, if you're a Christ follower, is the greatest thing is not the healing. The greatest thing is to be drawn closer to him and see how he begins to use that. I know in my own life, 12 years ago, when I first was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and given a fatal prediction by the first 4 doctors, it was pretty scary. But I'm thankful that God has healed me and sustained my life, and I'm thankful to be alive so I can tell about his faithfulness. But you know, sometimes we pray for that healing and it doesn't come, right? We're disappointed. But I'm thankful that even in the midst of our suffering, we can be drawn closer to Christ. That we can trust him, that he knows best, that he knows when it's time to take us home, and we're going to fight with contending prayer and belief, and we're going to see miracles as we ask for it and believe. But there's going to be other times we pray our hearts out, but it doesn't happen. I want you to hear from a dear brother whose wife passed away unexpectedly, and he found in that grief process the comfort of Christ, the risen Christ. Let's listen to Wilner Williams.
4 years ago, 2011, November, I lost my wife to cancer. She had contracted ovarian cancer, and we knew nothing about it. And when we got to the hospital, it was just too late. It was matted to her intestines, so it was she never came home from the emergency room, and that was pretty painful. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to do it, or how I was going to go on. But I can tell you, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. And if it wasn't for the relationship that I have with Jesus, I could not have made it through these years after her passing. The word says that absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I believe that. And it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I believe that. And he said that he's coming back for us. And I believe that. And I put complete faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus. I mean, there were times when I was so down and in the rut, and I cried out. I mean, cried out, called on Jesus. He came every time, picked me up, held me, wrapped his arms around me, led and guided me through the days and nights, and through all the agony, he was there for me. Without Jesus, I could not have made it. I'm glad that I have faith in him, and I depend on him always.
You know, his wife Mary was a great dancer, and I'm here to tell you, there's going to come a day when they will dance again. Because death is not the ending for those of us who follow him. It's the beginning of eternal life. But that life starts now. We don't have to wait till we die. And that brings us to the third and final reason Jesus had to rise again, and it's to live in and through us. And this is the mystery of why did Jesus walk out of the grave? Why did he rise from the dead? And the answer is to have a personal relationship with us. Now, I know some people think about Jesus, and they think about someone who died, and we just kind of remember him. Yes, he's with us all the time. Like Kobe Bryant will always be in the Staples Center by way of remembrance of those great shows of athletic prowess and ability. We'll always kind of remember Kobe, and he'll be kind of with us in that sense. And that's the way they think of Jesus. You know, he's a dead hero, but he's kind of with us in that we remember him. Even at communion, do this in remembrance of me, is not like it happened a long time ago. It's remember who I am and apply it to your life now. And what we recognize in Christianity is that Christ really rose, really wants to have a relationship with us, and by his Spirit, he is here. He's present here today. We've been praying for you. We laid our hands on the seats in this worship center, praying for you, the people that would sit in that seat. And if there's an empty seat, you get a double portion. But I'm here to tell you that the greatest thing about following Christ is to have a personal relationship with him. Jesus said on the night before the cross in John 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you in 2,000 years. No, that's not what it says, does it? Yeah, be of good cheer. I'll come back in 2,000 years. So for the next 2,000 years, you just have to kind of tough it out. No, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, Acts 2, the coming of Christ's Spirit at Pentecost. And because I live, you also will live. And his living presence fills us up. It changes us. We know God personally through Christ. And this helps us in all the tough times of life. I want you to hear another testimony from a precious couple who had a son who was a prodigal. Anybody have any prodigals represented here today? A child that you love, but they've strayed away from the faith, and you pray for them with all your heart. And God has given great strength to Mark and Tina Merck, and thankfully, it's had some good results. Let's take a look at their story.
Back in 98, we got a call about a boy that needed to be adopted. We prayed about it, and as we felt led to bring him into the home, we found out that he was born addicted to some pretty major drugs. As years went on, the signs from this early addiction were quite evident, and the challenges became increasingly more.
Between his teens and his adulthood, he started to spiral out of control because of the drug abuse.
Knowing your son is out on the streets and using drugs that could kill him at any time, it's pretty hard to wonder about that. You get a phone call not knowing if it was him calling, if it was him on drugs calling, or if it was someone that found him. But we always had faith that God had him. God had him covered.
So a little over a year ago, we got the best Christmas present that we could have ever asked for. Gino decided that it was time for him to go into treatment. There was a lot of ups and downs, but with the help of Jesus and his resurrection power, he brought beauty for ashes in our son's life. And we are so grateful and so thankful that he is where he is today.
But we know that it was his connection with Jesus that made his miracle come true, and our connection with Jesus that gave us the peace that we had along the way.
A favorite verse always comes to mind, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. That's a promise that God gave us a long time ago, and we know that he will fulfill it in our son's life, and we can't wait to see what the days ahead hold.
So Jesus did not come to start a new religion. He came that we might have a relationship with God through him. And his living spirit presence can fill our lives and make all the difference. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we, the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our home with him or in him. Right. In other words, God the Father and God the Son take up residence in our life through his spirit. And we have a relationship with him that makes all the difference in the world. Again, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And I want to ask you today, have you accepted that gift of life in Christ? Have you accepted his forgiveness for your sin and been born again? You say, Ron, it's too nebulous and I can't really understand it. Well, none of us fully understand it. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the effect. And the risen Christ in our life, we see the changes that he makes in a person. I want you to hear one more story from Chantel Molina. And she led a very dark life before Christ, but she is so alive. And you haven't lived till you've sat in front of her during worship. But listen to what she has to say.
Hi, my name is Chantel Molina. I am a firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior. I once lived in darkness. I once had a past full of addiction, hatred, anger, and everything that wasn't the way of the Lord. One day I decided to give my life to the Lord. And when I did, I surrendered my will. And because of that, I live a life full of joy, truth, understanding, and love. And once I gave my life over to the Lord, it was a decision that I made to surrender to him. Surrendering is different from knowing. And when I gave up my will, everything else fell in place. If there's anything I can say to the world, it would be one thing. And I encourage you to know Jesus, to get to know him, to trust in him, and to believe that he did come and die for our sins.
I'm no longer a slave.
And he rose again to give us life.
I am a child of God.
And in doing that, we are forever forgiven. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Amen. So today, as we conclude this service, I just wonder if there's anybody here or watching online. You've come to that place in your life where you do see the difference between a religion about God and a relationship with God through Christ. And you understand that even though you don't get it all, you get it that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and you're willing to trust in him for that salvation. I wonder if there's anybody here today that would like to receive that gift and know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you're born again in Christ, and his spirit will take up residence in you and give you the power to live like you want to live. Is there anyone like that? Just raise up your hand. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you or anything. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Any hands? Anybody want to make that decision? I'm not having you close your eyes because it's easier in here to follow him than it is out there. Anyone like that? Well, I want to pray a prayer, and if you don't have the courage to raise your arm, I want you to pray this in your heart. I want to give you a chance to take a first step toward Jesus and receive his gift. Let's pray together. Just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for your great love. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for me, that I might be forgiven and free. I receive that gift now. Come into my life, Jesus. Make me the person you want me to be. And give me the courage to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to come up after the service, and we'd like to talk to you and pray with you. And as we close today, I want to tell you a story right after Travis has something to say. Yeah.
Greetings, church, and happy Easter to all. I have to tell you a quick testimony, if you don't mind. Anybody here, Grandpa? Grandma? Great-grandpa? The other day, Catherine and I went over to the nursery school to pick up a little great-grandson. And on the way home, we decided to stop and meet his cousin and visit, let him visit, because they love each other. One is 4.5 years old, the other is 5. And when Jacob and Dublin meet, they hug and squeeze. They had a little yellow, looked like an automobile, like a Ford Mustang or something, in his hand. And I said, oh, let's see that car. He said, Grandpa, don't you know anything? They've got so much smarts and so much energy. I was talking to one of the grandsons the other day, and he was using his phone. I thought he was texting or something while I was not paying attention to me. Come to find out, he was making notes on what I was saying.
I'm claiming that by faith for all of the phone people out there.
Well, anyhow, this little car, he took that little yellow, what I thought was a Ford Mustang, and he began like that, and within seconds, here was a armored warrior with a mask, and you know, and he set it down, and he said, that's not a car, that's a transformer. And then the other little great-grandson went over and pushed a button on one of the arms, and an arrow or something flew out. And he said, now it's finished. And I thought, Jesus is the transformer.
Amen.
He transformed my life.
Yes.
Glory.
Amen.
Picked up a dirty old mouth bum and made something good out of it, transformed him. And then when I thought about little Jacob saying, it is finished, I thought of a poem that's way down in the bottom of one of my drawers. I don't know who wrote it, but I brought it and I want to read it to you. You ask if there's any dads, I'm asking if there's any granddads. There is a line that has been drawn through the ages, and on that line stands an old rugged cross. And on that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of a man's soul or the loss. On one side are the forces of evil, all the demons, all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory. And they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hang God's Son in the balance, and in the darkness he cries, it is finished. Glory. It is finished. The chains are broken. Oh, it is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. In my heart, the battle was raging, and all the prisoners of war had not come home. There were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard, glory, Then I heard the King of the Ages had fought all the battles for me. And that victory was mine for the taking. And now, praise the Lord, I'm free.
Praise the Lord. He is risen. If you made that decision to follow Jesus and accept his forgiveness today, I want you to come up here to the front. We'll be available with some of our prayer servants, our ministry team. Talk to me, talk to somebody on the stage here. We'd love to talk to you about the decision you made. It's only the beginning. It's only the first step. And we hope that you'll come back next week. We're starting a new series called Clash. The lineup is in your worship folder. And we're going to be looking together at how we can be peaceable people in a crazy, hate-filled world. Are you realizing it getting more hateful all the time? And we just need to know how to be a peacemaker. And it's easy to be a peace lover. Just hold up a sign and wear a flower. But to be a peacemaker, you have to work at it. And so we're going to look together at how we can help bring peace in a very conflicted world. I hope you'll join us. So as you go today, go in the knowledge that Jesus rose to have a relationship with you, and he's going to hunt you down, sucker, for the rest of your life, because he loves you. Go in peace. Happy Easter. Give somebody a holy hug.